They were doing these massive solar fields that were anywhere from, you know, 100 acres to 1,800 acres, just massive facilities. And the drone technology and the data that we were producing became such an invaluable tool to that group. It was saving them hundreds of thousands of dollars on projects. Wow. That it literally became a full-time job for me.
Welcome to Elevating Drone Life. Each week, we'll be speaking with professionals from all walks of the drone industry to learn about their experiences, insights, and tips for success. Welcome to Elevating Drone Live.
Hello, everyone. I'm PJ Kirkpatrick, and joining me today is special guest Josh Marriott, Director of VDC and Field Solutions with the Whites Company, located in Phoenix, Arizona. Thanks for joining us today, Josh.
Hi, PJ. Thanks for having me.
No, I'm so happy that you're joining. So just to give some background, I think you participated in a couple of our experience trainings. Is that correct?
I did. I did one of the mapping trainings a couple of years ago and did the experience training last year. Something I've personally been wanting to do for many years and was able to finally make it happen here recently.
Well, I was glad that you're able to join us out there. You definitely made it that much more fun. So grateful for having you out there. Just to start us out, can you start by sharing how your company first decided to incorporate drones into the company?
Do you want my company's take on it, or do you want my kind of introduction, because it's kind of spanned over multiple years and actually now multiple companies?
Yeah, let's start with yours and then we'll transition to what the company's perspective was.
No, absolutely. No, I appreciate the question. And yeah, it's kind of funny how I got started in drones is it was mid to late 2016. I was with a large general contractor, not the one I'm currently with now, not the Whites Company, but another general contractor. And I had my boss at the time come to me and say, hey, we've got, you know, these regulations coming down here soon in relation to drones. And I know as a company, we have a lot of drones out on our projects and just it's kind of the wild, wild west. Everybody's doing what they want. I really need somebody to, you know, take this by the horns and figure out what we need to do, what we need to be doing. At that time, I didn't really know much about drones other than the little cheap ones you buy, you know, sure, with your kids and are very hard to fly. And you usually don't make it through more than one or two flights. And I said, okay, well, sounds like a challenge, and started kind of digging into it and, you know, started preparing for my Part 107 test and started looking into, you know, what are drones even being used for in construction. And not long after I kind of started looking at it, I was absolutely amazed at the technology, the capabilities, what people were doing in the industry. And it just really, I really became passionate about it. And as a company, we were at that time able to develop a program, got my Part 107, started communicating to others in the company that, hey, if you want to fly, you need to, you know, be Part 107 certified. We started confiscating equipment. That was probably one of the hardest things that I had to do, was go out to a project team, a superintendent that had, you know, spent their own money or company money on this equipment and say, hey, I'm taking it away from you. We had to do some wheeling and dealing with those folks and let them know, hey, I'm going to take the equipment so that we can register it, so that we can, you know, make sure that we're doing everything the way we're supposed to. And right. I made deals with them that, hey, we'll fly your project free for a year, or we'll have people come out and take care of this for you. And we'll be able to do some deliverables above and beyond what you're able to do, you know, not having the knowledge that we're learning.
Yeah.
And it actually worked out. And within a year or so of doing this at that previous company, it was my full-time job. I was, the company I was with, it was doing utility grade solar fields across the country. So not only just general commercial construction buildings, things like that, they were doing these massive solar fields that were anywhere from, you know, 100 acres to 1800 acres, just massive facilities. And the drone technology and the data that we were producing became such an invaluable tool to that group. It was saving them hundreds of thousands of dollars on projects. Wow. That it literally became a full-time job for me. After about a year and a half, 2 years of that, it became, it was too much work for one person. You know, the travel and everything that we were doing with the drones, I couldn't handle it myself. Right. So we started training others that literally were full-time drone pilots within the construction company. kind of transitioning into my current role. During that time, you know, I was doing other things. I was leading, some other aspects of BDC for that company, as well as running what we call Field Solutions, which is, you know, drones and laser scanning and some other technology there. I started getting other companies reaching out to me, just interested in, you know, what I was doing and, you know, some of the events that I'd gone to, speaking opportunities at conferences, just talking to the construction industry about how we were leveraging drones and other technology. And the Whites company was one of those. And the Whites company, I think, recognized that they were wanting to get involved with some of the things other general contractors were doing and how they were leveraging technology. And at that time, didn't really have the internal group or department to do that. And so they made me an offer to come on board and basically create my own group or department within the company. Now, Whites is a smaller general contractor than the one that I was previously at, but we're spread out a lot more. We're actually international. We have a parent company in our parent company is Orascom Construction, which is one of the largest contractors in the world based out of Egypt. So they had a lot of resources that the company I was with at the time did not have. And they were doing different type of work. So I, with the solar work, and again, I was literally traveling 5 weeks a month, and most months don't even have 5 weeks in it. But that was my life. And most of that travel was like impromptu because it was so weather dependent.
Sure.
Yeah. Solar panel, you know, to do the inspections, you had to have sunshine, and not everywhere in the country has sunshine that's predictable as, you know, say Arizona. So my travel schedule was literally like one day I'd be checking the weather and say, hey, I need to be in Tennessee tomorrow. And doing that, and I've got a family and four kids at home, and I was missing a lot. And so it was about time to do something different. Coming into the Whites company, I was able to join the company, you know, as a leader, as, you know, kind of a directive from our executive team that, hey, we need something in regards to construction technology. And drones specifically was something that they were really looking at. And in conversations I had with them, was something they were very excited about bringing into the company a little bit more than they had been doing it already, you know, kind of dabbling at that point.
The previous company with the solar farms, it sounded like, and correct me if I'm wrong, that they became early adopters because you were able to demonstrate how much money could be saved by using drones. Does that sound about right?
Yeah, absolutely. I believe even before I started doing it, we had hired a third party to do it. And the third party kind of had botched the job. We weren't getting the data out of it we needed. And again, as I kind of dug into it, I started reaching out to people in the industry that I knew were kind of in that realm of things. And I found a guy named Nikhil over at Raptor Maps. And if anybody's familiar with Raptor Maps, they're an awesome company. They were a startup at the time. And were looking for money and opportunity, but they were using AI. They were one of the first ones that I'm aware of that was using AI to identify issues. And working with them, we were able to prove that, hey, we can fly the drone in this specific manner, capture this specific data, which was a very hands-on process. I know a lot of times when you go out to the field and you have automated drone flights, it's kind of you're a battery babysitter
at that point. Right.
But when you're doing solar and you're having to capture the data in a very specific manner, you have to have your hands on the control at all times because you're doing minor tweaks and adjustments to keep that sensor perpendicular to the solar panels, which move or change direction throughout the day.
Right.
So very hands-on, but capturing the data in a very specific way. And then we found that we were able to upload that data to Raptor Maps. Raptor Maps would run it through their AI system, identify all of the issues, provide us a report and maps and even GPS data that could be, you know, created, turned into tickets and work orders in, you know, a matter of a week, right? They were able to turn this data. It was actionable data that the project team, whether they were in construction or we were in the maintenance phase of the project, meaning it was completion, it was up and running, you know, we could use that data to do any kind of repairs or adjustments on that job site. The traditional method or the method prior to drones to do that, you literally, you can't look at a solar panel and say, hey, that piece of that solar panel is not working, or even if that entire panel is not working. You can't do that just visually, right?
Sure.
And you're not going to have somebody go out over 1,800 acres and hold up a thermal sensor and, you know, check panels with thermal sensors. No, your option is basically to send 50 or 60 electricians out there for weeks, and they're going to manually check every solar panel, every cell, and try to identify issues. The drones, we were able to do that same process in the matter of hours, if not, you know, a few days.
Wow.
So you're talking thousands upon hours, thousands upon dollars.
So in addition to that process, not only did you identify that drones would reduce the cost, but you also identified that outsourcing it wasn't really the answer. So it sounds like you addressed that challenge by bringing it in-house, right? Training your teams in-house on how to do that. Is that what you found to be a better use of employees' time than outsourcing it?
Cost-wise, for me at that time, it was better than outsourcing. It was I at that time I didn't have anybody that I really trusted in the industry to do it. Mm-hmm. Two, because of the nature of that traveler, nature of where we needed to be. I mean, I'd have to spend hours and hours finding the right people in the location with the right equipment, with the right know-how to do it. Whereas when I had a trained team, myself kind of doing that, I knew what I knew, and I knew that, hey, all I need to do is know, hey, I got a project in Tennessee. It's 1,200 acres. I need to be there tomorrow. I need to be there, you know, every 3 months for this duration. It was done, and I wasn't having to look for people with that knowledge or having to train outside people on what I needed to collect the data. And at that, after a period of 3-4 months and working with the team at Raptor Maps, we had it dialed in on what that workflow was, what the data was needed. So we weren't just doing thermal. We were also doing orthomosaics. I mean, there was one point I was traveling and I was carrying two Matrice 210s and two Phantoms with me at all times. Wow. So you can imagine at the airport, I had my own custom made cart. I'm like carting this equipment across the country back and forth. Learned a lot. Learned a lot doing that. And again, unless you have the right third party with that experience level, it's hard to just pick that up in a state where, you know, we're typically not located and I haven't worked with them before. Just made sense to have in-house people do it.
So not only was it a cost benefit to have it in-house, but even though it took a little bit of time to train everyone up, in the long term, it sounds like, and correct me if I'm wrong, that you get the data that you want when you need it. And that's probably the most important part.
It truly was. And I know that from after I left that firm that I was with, I know that they did start outsourcing a lot of their local stuff, but I believe solar is still done in-house. Copy and they still have a group that travels with the right equipment and does that data capture.
And that's tough for any organization, as I've been observing kind of the enterprise space where they're, you know, they don't understand drones. They don't understand the rules and regulations. So outsourcing does seem appealing at first, but what I've been observing in the industry is that companies are starting to understand that bringing it in-house makes sense. But obviously, you know better than anybody that putting together a drone program can be challenging.
It can. I mean, having done this now from scratch for basically two different companies, because at the time my previous firm didn't have anything, I created documentation from my experience and, you know, ran into all sorts of issues and kind of just started keeping track of checklist items. Hey, don't forget this next time. Don't forget this next time. And it created a pretty comprehensive document that I still use. That's what I train my new pilots with, is all that years of experience that I had. And, you know, doing that now for a second time, I was able to see all the, you know, mistakes or issues that I had the first time around and been able to correct that with the White's company. So I've been with the White's company now for 4 years. When I joined, I think we had maybe two or three certified Part 107 pilots. Mm-hmm. We're over 30 now.
Wow, that's impressive. What was one thing that you learned from the first time you started that process to develop an in-house department for drones? What's one thing you learned from that first time that you brought into the White's company that, like, if anybody else was like trying to do an in-house, what's one piece of advice that you could give them?
There's so many.
We're not going to give them all of them. One or two.
I'd like to give two. If that's okay. The first one being, know what your end goal is, or know what you're wanting your deliverable to. Why are you wanting to create this program? What do you hope to gain from it? What is your overall goal with the drone program? The second thing, and there's kind of multiple parts of the second thing, is making sure that who you have involved with the program as your champions, as your leaders of it, that they're passionate about it. If you have people that are doing it because they're assigned to do it, you're not going to get as much out of it as if you have people that are passionate and they want to do it, right?
Right.
I became very passionate about it, and it became, you know, I found myself outside of work hours doing anything I can to do drone stuff. It was I'm still passionate about it, and I don't get to fly very much, and drives me crazy sometimes. And, but that being part of it is making sure that you have passionate people and making sure that they're directing their energy where it needs to be directed, as far as like understanding the equipment, understanding, you know, the correct way to set up an operation, the correct way they're flying, and the correct deliverables that they need to be producing, to be comprehensive. I see so many people in the industry that, you know, in construction, that they're 1 hour a month pilots. They may be passionate about it. They may want to do it, but just because of the nature of their job and nature of what they do, they're only able to kind of fly once a month. Sure. And they're really only using the technology to the bare minimum and capturing that, the lowest hanging fruit, you know, photos and videos.
Yeah.
And there's so many other things that you can do with the drone. And it's just thinking ahead to the end with the end in mind, thinking what at the end of this project, if we went into litigation or there was a claim made against our project and we had to look back at our project to a specific date, what kind of data would I want? What kind of data would help that team resolve that issue? And thinking about that at the time, it's hard to do that when you're in the midst of a busy construction project. You have, you know, 50 subcontractors on site. You're trying to manage all these different people and you're still trying to capture data. It's very easy to say, hey, I only have 20 minutes to do this. I'm just going to go snap a couple photos to send to my owner. And it's like, dude, take the other 20 minutes, fly a mapping mission, fly, you know, some create an ortho mosaic, fly a couple loops around the project at different altitudes, capture some isometric views. All of that, you might not need it now, but at some point in the future, that data could be invaluable for the project.
In addition to the data and analytics, it's almost, I can't think of the word, but as you described, having that database or record that you can reference when you need to is another benefit.
Absolutely. I mean, I'm at the point where, so with our 30 pilots and, you know, we're flying, there's probably around 50 projects nationwide, actually international at this point that we're flying. We have collected over 300,000 photos and videos.
Wow.
For those projects. And I have all of my pilots. That's another thing that I learned is, hey, we need a repository. Everything needs to be kept in the same space.
Yeah.
I ask or have all of our pilots upload their data, their raw data, to one location. And then I say, once it's there, you can do whatever you need to with it. You can send it to a project owner. You can put it on a different platform. But the first step I need you to do is get it off the drone, put it on your computer, from your computer, upload it to this location.
That's smart.
We have so many people. So there's about 100 people that have access to that data. So not just my drone pilots, but the project teams, our executive team, our marketing team, they all know that, hey, if I need drone data, this is where I can go. It's very organized. We have all of our documentation there as well. But we're at the point now where there are a number of our projects that we've had to do that look back, where we've had, you know, a subcontractor try to file a claim against us, or an owner try to state, hey, this wasn't done. We're going to, you know, give you damages or something for this. And we're able to look back at that data, find that time frame, look at the process data versus the raw data, and say, hey, we have photo evidence that's timestamped that says that's not the case. So it is a huge CYA.
Yeah, no, that's, and I think people forget often, and I think you brought this up earlier, is that the data that drones can provide, yeah, we can do orthomosaics, yeah, we can create 3D models, but you identified a number of departments. You just listed like marketing a few. What are some other departments that are accessing this data that people might not be aware of that it might be useful to a marketer or other people in your company?
Absolutely. Our risk department is somebody that definitely can leverage that data. I mean, you're photo documenting a snapshot in time. It is time-stamped. It's, you know, admissible in court. It is extremely valuable data that we can use to communicate. Still, the biggest users of that data that, you know, have the ability to act on that data are our operations teams, our project teams. You know, we have the drone pilot fly the project. We'll do the videos. We'll do the orthomosaics. But our project teams in the field are able to, on a lot of our projects right now, we have a big screen TV set up in the trailer.
Yeah.
Everybody has access to. We have our process map right there.
Wow.
And the teams can come in. They have meetings around that information. They're able to, it's up to date. They're able to sit down. They're able to communicate, hey, here is the project currently. This drone flight was done yesterday, right? And they're able to plan safety around that. So our safety department's obviously involved. The operations team on that project, working with the subcontractors, planning, you know, a crane pick and how we're going to complete that safely. Where is the laydown area? Where are we going to have vehicles entering, exiting? Where walk paths that we have, you know, crews walking through the project. We're also at the point where on a number of our projects, we're flying the interiors. So not even just creating these orthomosaics that can be used, but we're able to communicate. So we do something at the beginning of the day, which is our daily stretch and flex.
Yeah.
And it's an opportunity for all the workers that are going to be on that job site to stretch out, get flexible for the day, for the work that is ahead of them. But it's also a time that our safety team can communicate. We do toolbox talks with them and have subject matters. They're also able to communicate, hey, what's going on the site today? Where's everybody going to be at? Watch out for this. We're able to use information like those interior drone flights and broadcast that up on a big screen and say, hey, this is the inside of the building. There's going to be stuff going on in this area, and kind of do a fly around and pause the video and have call outs and different video editing items in there to enhance the way that we communicate with our staff, giving them that visual, the ability to understand, you know, our brains work visually.
Yeah.
You know, putting stuff on paper in 2D is so rudimentary in the modern world. And our minds think in three dimensions, four dimensions. We're able now to communicate in that way. And drones help us do that.
That's really interesting. I'm glad you brought up the safety point because, I mean, drones have been proven to collect data much safer than other means. But I think how you're using the data to create safety within the construction space, I don't think that's anything I thought of before just because I'm not in the construction space. But I know that if there's one thing I have learned about, you know, working construction projects, I was told that construction really cares about three things: safety, safety, and safety. So I'm glad to hear that they're using the drone data to actually continue with that safety.
We are constantly looking for opportunities to leverage drone data as well as a multitude of other technologies to enhance safety on our projects. So I would say, yes, safety is definitely number one. But then you look at it, this is a project work has to get done. So cost and schedule two other components that are cost, schedule, and quality, absolute imperative to one, making sure, all of these three things, safety, cost, schedule, all combining can affect each other, right? If you're compressing the schedule, hurrying the job up, guess what? Safety goes out the window, cost goes out the window.
Yeah.
You're trying to make the project more cost effective. You're most likely going to affect your schedule and you're going to affect your safety. So they all kind of work hand in hand. And the technology that we're using is what my department's called this virtual design and construction. You know, what we're doing within our VDC departments, and I know other general contractors in the industry and my counterparts across the industry are looking at the same things I am looking at, is what types of technology impact those three things the most. And reality capture and drones are one of the highest rated items in that, you know, if you were looking, you had to rank technology.
So you mentioned drones. What are some of the drones that are your go-to drones for what you guys need to do for today?
So we are a DJI house. We're using DJI across the company, and there's a couple of reasons why. One, cost. The equipment's fairly inexpensive when compared to, you know, something made domestically. That's a whole big conversation. I know you probably had DJ. I know I've had with Paul and some others. But for me, it's back to that statement I made earlier, where a majority of my pilots, they have a day job. I don't have anybody in our company right now where we have, or any location within our company right now, where we have enough projects in one location to have a full-time pilot, like in that area.
Yeah. So they're wearing multiple hats, right? They're wearing their day hat. And then when a drone job is required, they can just put on that drone hat.
Right. So most of my pilots are project engineers, project managers, a number of my VDC people. They're in a location. They have a day job. I need equipment that is easy to use, low maintenance, doesn't have a large learning curve to get up and running with it. What we have found is DJI is that go-to.
Yeah.
The technology, I'd say, you know, in the years that I've done this, you know, Phantom 4 originally was the workhorse and what we've been using. There was a point where I was buying any used Phantom 4 I could find. And right. we have a partnership with a company that maintains all of our equipment. We purchase all of our equipment through it. If I had to buy something secondhand, I would send it to them first thing, have them refurb it, fix it up, get it ready to go. And then it was out on a project. We are at the point right now where we've diversified our stable a little bit. And we have some, you know, Avadas, we have a number of minis, mini two, threes and fours. Right. We do have, a couple Inspires, the old Inspires. That's still one of my favorite drones to fly, and I can put a thermal sensor on it. And I mean, it's all DJI equipment. I'd say for the most part, any new equipment that we're buying for a majority of our projects is going to be the Mavic 3 Enterprise.
Yeah, it's a solid drone.
Fun thing is, I try to take my opportunity and test all of them before I say, yeah, this is what we're going with. So that's the one time I can apply anymore. I got to test it and make sure it works.
No, that's fantastic. No, I love the position that you're in and the way you're kind of describing to our audience, like the overwhelming objective that you have. I mean, to take a program from that doesn't exist and get 30 pilots trained is pretty remarkable. So hats off to you for doing that. Can you describe that implementation process a little bit? Like, what are some of the things that you found to be pivotal in the success of the drone program when you were starting out?
Yeah, absolutely. Again, starting with that end in mind, what are we trying to accomplish here? What is the end goal? And then kind of working backwards from that. What do I need to accomplish that? What's the next step? What's the next step?
I mean, about like the pilots. So you had to identify candidates to be able to fly. What are some of the things that you look for in a candidate to be able to say, okay, Yeah, this would be a good candidate to be a remote pilot or not?
So we're pretty open with it. So what I found over the years, I mean, originally, go backwards here a little bit. When I started doing this, you know, we basically opened it up. Hey, who's interested, or what project teams are interested in? Do you have a person that you can assign to this or dedicate? And we quickly found out that, you know, when you're assigned it, we're not going to get out of you what we need. It needs to be somebody who wants to do it, somebody who's has some passion around it or wants to learn it, it's excited. I've also found a lot of our project teams, they were trying to push like interns. And we had to stop that very quickly. Like, hey, just because they're the youngest and they're the most excited doesn't mean they're the right person for this. And, you know, there's other things to consider, their insurance and, you know, hey, are they going back to school? Are we going to invest this time and money in them? And then they're back to school.
Yeah, you're going to lose that knowledge, right?
So we stopped with the interns. We have a number of project engineers. So they're fairly young in their careers. Project engineer being, you know, more of an where somebody out of college would begin in the construction industry, sure, whether it's a field engineer or a project engineer. You know, we started recognizing that. I'd say the most success that I've had is somebody who's been in the industry for a little while, somebody who is process oriented. So they understand the reason for a checklist. I have a number of checklists. We have a pre-flight checklist that everybody's required to fill out before they fly. We have an operations checklist that covers, again, all of those items that I've learned in the years that I've been doing this. And that operation checklist covers a lot of things, even like the day before, you know, you go out and fly and, you know, making sure your batteries and SD card and everything else is ready to go, making sure the drone's updated and a number of things like that. Making sure that you have somebody that recognizes the value of that and is dedicated enough or, you know, is willing to go through those checklists to make sure that they're following the proper procedure. Those have been some of the best people when I have somebody with that mindset. What I found is a lot of the younger generation that, you know, gets excited that, hey, I get to go fly a drone and start skipping things. It's been interesting to say, you know, over the number of years that I've done this now, getting, you know, close to 8 years or so doing this, the number of, I mean, you're going to have incidents. You're going to have a drone crash here and there. You're going to have a flyaway. Obviously, it's getting better, but we've been able to track or trace almost every situation that we've had with that back to an item that was missed on a checklist or a procedure.
That's interesting. That's very interesting.
Yeah. So making sure the right people. And we have, for the lights company, how we've developed that is we do have a training program. So when somebody reaches out to me, a project team says, hey, we want to get this person licensed to fly the drone on our project. I'll say, okay, here's the process. I have an email, you know, kind of standardized email that I send out, all the instructions on how to get there, part 107. I won't even really talk or do anything with that person until they've gotten their part 107. They've shown me that they're that dedicated that they've got that. Part of that process is signing them up for our props training with the Drone U and having them go through the part 107 course on there. Of course, we give them access to a number of other courses in there, and there's a cost piece to that. So we're making the project have a little bit of skin in the game, say, hey, you want to train this person, it's going to cost you this much.
Yeah.
Our hope is that if you're willing to pay this much money, you're going to be dedicating, you're going to be checking to make sure this person is going through the process.
That's very smart.
Yeah. Well, it comes from, you know, again, previous experience. You know, in the past, when we would try to find the cheapest training program possible, you know, we'd have people sign up for it. And then we were at like 50% of the people that signed up and paid would actually finish. Right. So a little bit more expensive training, a lot more extensive, you know, in what they have access to.
Yeah.
There's so much information in there between photography and videography and survey and mapping and all the classes that the props has offered for them. There's so much there that they can leverage and use, but it's a little bit of an investment for that pilot. So once they get done with that part and they come to me and say, hey, I got my part 107, I give them the congrats and I say, okay, now we need to schedule our whites training. And our whites training for our drone program it's a 3 to 4 hour kind of lecture conversation where we go through, you know, our safety policies, procedures, our required documentation and checklists. We go through, you know, our incident reporting and some other safety things, you know, how do we determine if we're safe to fly on the project? But then we also go through equipment training. Again, people may or may not realize this, but when you go through the part 107, they don't train you on how to fly. They train you on like the rules that they want you to know about. Don't fly near an airport. Here's what you do when a manned aircraft comes. But it does not address specific equipment and how you operate it and what are good workflows to follow. So we do, you know, a brief training with our pilots. And then before they're ever signed off, they have to do a practical flight. So with one of our drone champions, I have a team of 8 to 10 awesome drone champions within the company. And we have a monthly meeting. They're the kind of leaders spread out across the company for our drone program. They have to do a practical flight with them where they've demonstrated everything that we've gone through the training, all our process, procedure, safety components, and you know, setting up the takeoff landing area. They go through that process. And once they've done that, we sign off their documentation. They have to upload their documentation. We have a file of everybody who's certified. We just started this year issuing hard hat stickers. So all of our certified pilots will get one of these cool stickers they can put on their hard hats and basically shows that they're one of our approved pilots.
And, that's a nice and from topic. There, I love that.
Yeah, it's good. I mean, it's a way for us to track who has, you know, completed it. It's a little bit of a reward, a badge of honor for them.
That's perfect.
And they, you know, they can demonstrate it. But then from there, we start looking at their project and we start saying, okay, what do we need to do on your project? What is the goal? What should we be doing on your project? What's going to be most beneficial? That's how we've kind of implemented things.
I love that. I love that. I have to say, I think the Whites Company is lucky to have you.
Thank you.
I've been observing your success with your program, and I'm glad that I've had the opportunity to hear you talk about it. And I'm confident that the people listening to this will be able to take a couple of these nuggets, these lessons learned that you shared with them. And thank you for sharing those with the audience. Cause there's a lot of folks that are starting drone programs today, and they're going to need all the help that they can get. So grateful for you for sharing that information.
I have to say I am lucky to be with, the Whites Company is a great firm, and they've given me a lot of, resources and a lot of capabilities to build this program the way that I thought it should be built.
Yeah, that's important.
The success that we've seen has been rewarding in itself. I mean, to go from two to three pilots across the company to over 30 and continuing to grow. And we're continuing to partner with firms like, you know, the DroneU, and we do use Drone Deploy, and we use, you know, a number of other products and companies that, you know, have partnered with us and allowed us to test and you know, look at new technologies and new ways that drones can impact our industry. So thank you.
I absolutely love it. So if anyone wanted to reach out to you to maybe learn more about the White's company or to just learn about you, how would they get a hold of you?
Yeah, absolutely. LinkedIn is one way, or you can email me directly at joshua.marriott, M-A-R-R-I-O-T-T, at White's, W-E-I-T-Z.com. Either one of those, send me a notification, and I'm more than happy to discuss.
Awesome. Well, grateful for you. Thank you for taking the time to do this. And Josh, I'm looking forward to seeing you in the next few months. And thanks again for joining us today.
PJ, thank you for the opportunity. Listeners out there, thank you for your time. Appreciate it.
GFY.
Thank you for listening to the Elevating Drone Life podcast. If you were inspired, entertained, or learned something new, please share the podcast with your friends and fellow drone enthusiasts. Join us next time as we continue our mission of bringing the real world of drones to life. To learn more about the DroneU family, head to thedroneu.com or, for enterprise solutions, propsflightschool.com.